Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this morning, this Friday, the 13th, January the 13th, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, a wild and dystopic ride. It is. Gets stranger all the time. And what's happening in the media seems to bear that out. Some folks are noticing a bit strange, to say the least. The line between fact and fiction has been blurred beyond recognition in the wind tunnel, I suppose you could say, of the Russian hacking meme. It's interesting. We've built upon, I said this year we would cover the subject of logical fallacies. We really need to do that. We'll do that in the next week or two, because all of the stories that we see that concern Russia and the Trump administration, the incoming Trump administration and so forth, are all built on unsubstantiated claims at the very least. In the best case, the claims are unsubstantiated. In the worst case, they're just patently false. Very interesting. And it makes you wonder, really, what's happening in the intelligence community if the dossier that was allegedly presented to mainstream press in the summer of 2016 and rattled around here and there, and once it dropped into the hands of John McCain, McCain walked it over to FBI Director James Comey. What is the intelligence community doing if it's cherry-picking information like that and not vetting it before it presents it as a national security concern to the president and vice president and the president-elect? Very strange. What's happening? Very bizarre. And the mainstream corporate press has a role to play in this. CNN would like to avoid culpability because of the way that they presented the information, but that's slightly disingenuous. Anyway, for more on that, I want to give you a little video here. Go ahead, please.
So the media flap of the day has now moved from BuzzFeed publishing that completely unproven and unsubstantiated collection of allegations and rumors against President-elect Trump involving Russia to CNN's Jim Acosta. CNN, you may recall, was actually out there first with news about this unverified dossier, but at least didn't publish the salacious allegations, but did say it suggested that Russia had compromising information about the president-elect. So Acosta, in the middle of the Trump Tower presser, four or five times interrupting Trump, jabbing his finger, you criticized us, I want to get a question, what about this, what about that, and that prompted the rejoinder from the president-elect about CNN being fake news, overstating the situation just a tad. I think that Acosta went too far. He crossed the line. He's a good reporter, but I think he crossed the line. And I understand why Sean Spicer would say to him, the incoming White House press secretary, if you do that again, you're out of there, because we all agree, and you go to a news conference, that you're going to follow certain rules, like wait to be called on. Everybody doesn't just get to ask questions whenever they want. But there's a much more important issue here that I think we need to address. In the wake of BuzzFeed, in the wake of CNN, in the wake of an 18-month campaign in which the media repeatedly got it wrong about Donald Trump, about the people who voted for Donald Trump, made all kinds of mistakes. Some journalists were seen as too cozy with the Hillary camp, and this came out in some of the WikiLeaks documents. And that is the question of journalists as gatekeepers. Now, when you say that, you hearken back to an earlier time when what the major newspapers, news magazines, and networks did really did pretty much control the national dialogue. And I think it's a healthy thing that in the age of Twitter and Facebook and people having their own websites and they can pick up their iPhone and do Facebook Live video, that they have broken the monopoly of the mainstream press. And it's a much more free-for-all environment, even though it can also be, as everybody knows, a much more toxic environment. But there used to be, at least, for all the partisanship, in politics and all the polarization in the media. There used to be a sense that, well, you know, at least big news organizations are trying to present us. You know, they might be biased, they might be incomplete, they might be unfair, but at least they're trying to present us with a common set of facts around which we can all debate and argue. And I think now, given the damage that has been done to the media in this campaign, the media have really lost that. So you can't just say, well, I'll pick up the New York Times tomorrow and see what really is the story about this unverified dossier and whether I should pay any attention to it, who wrote it, how did it get leaked? That's something that's been kind of overlooked here. You know, it's against the law to leak classified information. And so if the media are no longer trusted to be, if you don't like the word gatekeepers, just to be guardians of a common set of facts, as best as we can ascertain them, you know, obviously factual matters in the realm of politics get argued about a lot. Was Obamacare a complete disaster? Are there some things that are worth preserving? And all of that. But once the media have lost that, and now it seems with Trump about to take the oath of office that they're not going to get it back anytime soon, then it's hard to know what to believe. People increasingly go on their phones, go on their desktop, and go to sites and Twitter feeds and Facebook feeds that are kind of an echo chamber for what they already believe. And so that also adds to the polarization in the country. Now, I blame the press a lot for this state of affairs, not entirely, but partially. The more that we are seen as partisan, by the way, you know, the Hillary Clinton people didn't like the press any better than the Donald Trump people during the campaign, the less, for lack of a better phrase, moral authority that we have to cut through the fog and the noise and the spin and say, here's our best approximation of the truth. And that's a loss for the country and the political system, because if nobody knows what to believe and there's no set of news organizations that can be counted on to deliver some version of unbiased truth, that doesn't just hurt us. It really hurts the country.
So there you go. That was Fox News. Howard Kurtz, host of the Fox News Media Buzz broadcast. I don't know. What do you think? I think he has a valid point. Several, actually. And basically, you know, the bottom line in this case is that the mainstream media has discredited itself. CNN obviously is not without culpability in this, and BuzzFeed in this case, obviously culpable. But, you know, I'm reminded of the clip we played yesterday. I forget which clip that was, but the fact that the mainstream press is essentially a conglomerate in and of itself, owned by about a handful of interests. Due to that fact, there really is kind of a bias, a prevailing bias. And on the clip that we played yesterday, the point was made, one of the clips anyway, that there is a collusive nature to the mainstream press in a lot of cases, because, for instance, if there are organizations that are owned by one interest, it's not uncommon for those stories to be picked up by various outlets that are owned, you know, various outlets in common, owned by the same interest. And so we see that. We also see the fact that the mainstream press would publish a story as factual and objective journalism in whatever form. You know, the way that CNN spun this story and their publishing of it was again disingenuous. The fact that The story was essentially that certain clandestine interests were hired specifically to dig up dirt. They were paid to dig up dirt, and it was largely, if not entirely, unsubstantiated after after efforts to pay for dirt, to find dirt. If there was any dirt found, it was unsubstantiated, to say the least. And then for that, obviously slanted to find its, and it was an attempt at political assassination. So for that to make its way out into the mainstream press is absolutely unthinkable, unconscionable. So the mainstream press then becomes an obvious and overt, if even by accident, extension of the political assassination, at the very least. And as Howard Kurtz pointed out, clearly in that case, no longer the gatekeepers of that discussion. But as I've been saying, this obviously dovetails, in my opinion, with the broader agenda of the Glasnost effect, as I would say. I mean, what is this doing? It discredits these organizations. It's like little squibs going off in our establishment constructs. Can you feel it happening? I mean, this is not just discrediting the media and not just the outlets themselves who are responsible, the CNNs, the BuzzFeeds, you know, et cetera, and not just the people involved. It has a ripple effect throughout the mainstream media, which I think Howard Kurtz is speaking to, and I think he's right. But it also affects our political institutions and beyond. The intelligence community is obviously implicated as well. It has a far-reaching effect. So that's we'll just kind of leave that there for the moment. But I think the effects are obvious, and I think Howard Kurtz has a good point. So some of the interesting headlines. Speaking of culpable mainstream corporate media outlets, Washington Post ran a story, the official publication of Capitol Hill, so to speak, which was busted by Ben Swan for running the fake news story of, you know, Russia hacking the power grid recently. That nonsense. Washington Post ran the story today, What Trump Got Wrong on Twitter This Week, number two. And it's, again, not objective, fact-based journalism. It's a hit piece and clearly intended to marginalize Donald Trump, again, further eroding our confidence in our leaders and our government, in simple terms, and obviously discrediting the Washington Post itself. In my opinion, the Washington Post is not very credible or reliable these days, if it ever was. And so that's unfortunate, the unfortunate reality. Associated Press ran the story earlier today. Trump's Indonesian business partner to attend inauguration. Not surprising, but Trump's ties to his Indonesian partner are among the many potential conflicts of interest the 45th president could face. What's particularly interesting about stories like this is the fact that Trump's business partner Harry Tenosa Dibjbo, the fact that he's going to attend the inauguration is is not as scandalous as some of the information that is floating around out there. I think it's interesting still that the mainstream press is leaving certain stories on the table. And is the mainstream press just lazy? Or is there some broader agenda here? Because it's very disturbing, for example, to dig into Jared Kushner's background. The fact that he, there's just so much. The fact that, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, Wendy Deng has bragged. Wendy Deng, of course, the ex-wife of Rupert Murdoch, has been alleged to be dating Vladimir Putin for the last couple of years, at least. There have been rumors floating around about that. She's not a good person. She's a pretty opportunistic person, to say the least. A sycophant to power. But she has bragged about introducing Ivanka and Jared Kushner, and they've vacationed together, hung out together. There are a number of Russian interests. You know, I mentioned the story yesterday about the fact that Wendy Deng bragged about introducing Ivanka and Jared, and some have speculated that it's not so much Russia as it is the Russians that might have compromising information on Donald Trump. And more specifically, the way that storyline is shaping up, it's not so much Donald Trump's interests in Russia, it's Russian interests here. And there is strong speculation in the alternative media, and the rumble beneath the surface is that there has been significant money laundering through the Trump organization by Russia. There seems to be evidence of money laundering, sex trafficking, and all kinds of other things. But these are things. And there are close ties to folks around the Trump organization, or I should say, there are ties to Donald Trump to certain questionable figures, and a lot of that information is just already out in the public square. And it's a fact. Lev Levy, the Israeli billionaire, made many New Yorkers sit up and take notice when he bought the former New York Times building on West 43rd Street in 2007 for $525 million, three times what the seller paid for it 30 months later. So why did he do that? That was a headline back in December 22nd, 2009, that was the New York Times. Headline was former Times building to be a hotel and condos. See that story. And so Lev, you have bought the building for $525 million. Sold it not too long ago. His company, Africa Israel Investments Limited, controlled by him, sold its 50.1% stake in the Times Square building in Manhattan for $295 million. So, think about that. This is a real story. He bought it for $525 million, three times what the seller paid for it 30 months earlier. And this was kind of at the peak of the real estate boom. It's possible, I suppose, but then he takes a $300 million loss on it, sells it shortly thereafter for $295 million. That's one example of questionable behavior. And so that's one example of the speculation of the money laundering that people are focusing on, particularly in the alternative media. And there are other questionable figures, but I'll table that for now. Anyway, the point is there are other aspects of the Trump-Russia controversy that we could be focusing on, the mainstream press. It's almost as if everyone is I don't know, drunk on something, and not doing any kind of journalistic work. The intelligence community, very, very strange. Why is this happening? You know, the story from the alleged dossier, it's very strange. Fusion GPS hired back in September of 2015. Recruits the skills and talents of ex-MI6 officer Christopher Steele, if that's actually his name. Probably not. Who's afraid for his safety and his family's safety now, he says. Anyway, again, anonymous sources cited, you know, Russian, his contacts, anonymous, and so the information that's presented is largely baseless. Meanwhile, there's been money laundering through the Trump Organization. Evidence seems to show for years, if not decades. And that's being overlooked by the press. That's very strange. Not to mention the vote check system fraud. That's a subject that we haven't heard anything about in the mainstream press either. We'll grab a video on that. I'll give you a video on that. It's on the other side of this break. Stick around, I'll be right back after the show.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When you were here before, it couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
You know, the real story on the election hacking, RT, honestly, was the only outlet that I know of that really covered it. And RT is really giving the mainstream Western corporate press some trouble. RT published a story on January 6th, The Real Election Hack Exposed, talking about the cross-check system, which is what I was talking about earlier. And this is not a new story. Rolling Stone published a story back in April of last year, The GOP's Stealth War Against Voters. Subtitle, will an anti-voter fraud system or program designed by one of Trump's advisors deny tens of thousands their right to vote in November? And actually, it's worse than that. It was more than tens of thousands, significantly more. But you're not hearing about that. Why is that? Isn't that interesting? So one has to wonder when one sees that the mainstream press is apparently ignoring this issue entirely. Why? It's very strange. Why would CNN, for example, pick up a story they admit is unsubstantiated at best and air it as such? Well, it's unsubstantiated, but when they have a real credible story that they could air, and they could focus on that. If you want to talk about election hacking, the cross-check system seems to be the place to look. Unless, you know, it almost makes you wonder if Russia is directing this narrative in glasnost fashion. Very strange, very bizarre, you know. I mean, to choose a story that's admittedly unsubstantiated, to have that rattle through the echo chamber as it has, when there are several other angles. If you're going to be a biased media outlet when you present yourself as an objective, balanced, fact-based journalism organization, there are other more credible ways to do it. But it's interesting that this is what's being chosen. Anyway, as I said, RT ran the story, The Real Election Hack Exposed, a week ago. And so Tom Hartman talks to America's Lawyer host Mike Papantonio about the interstate cross-check system program and why Democrats aren't talking about the program's influence on the election. And the influence seems to be overwhelming. Anyway, here's that video. Go ahead, please.
I'm Tom Hartman in Washington, D.C., and here's what's coming up tonight on The Big Picture. The evidence that Kris Kobach's interstate cross-check program helped hijack the election for Donald Trump couldn't be clearer. So why aren't Democrats talking about it? More on that with Mike Papantonio in just a moment. And as Republicans move to repeal Obamacare, Democrats are gearing up for a big fight. Are they walking into a trap? We'll talk about that and more in tonight's Politics Panel. In need to know this. Speaking in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee today, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper said he was highly confident that Russia had interfered in our presidential election. Testimony like that from the country's highest-ranking intelligence officer and a declassified report on alleged Russian interference expected out next week. Democrats now have plenty of new fodder for their endless quest to delegitimize Donald Trump by tying him to Russia, which is too bad because it means they're going to continue to ignore the real scandal of the 2016 presidential election. It's called Interstate Crosscheck, a program started by Trump advisor Chris Kobach, a fellow you may remember from the Your Papers, Please Walking While Brown Law in Arizona or the Muslim Registry that he designed for George W. Bush in the hysteria right after 9/11. Oh, and he's also the Secretary of State for Kansas, the epicenter of the Koch network. According to investigative reporter Greg Pallast, Crosscheck is a glorified national voter purge disguised as a tool to prevent people from double voting. Crosscheck kicked millions of people, according to Pallast, overwhelmingly people of color, off the voting rolls before Election Day. In many key states, the number of people purged by Crosscheck was much, much larger than Trump's margin of victory. In Michigan, for example, Pallast documents the number of people purged from the voting rolls at 449,000, about 40 times larger than Trump's margin of victory, which was around 10,700 votes. In other words, Crosscheck probably won Michigan for Trump. It probably also won him Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and many other states. This is a huge story. The presidential election was probably stolen. But for some inexplicable reason, Democrats aren't talking about it. There's no push for an investigation, no calls for hearings, no nothing. Why is that? What are the Democrats waiting for? Let's ask America's lawyer, Mike Papantonio, host of Ring of Fire Radio and host of America's Lawyer right here on RT America. Pap, welcome back.
Tom, how are you?
Good. Great to have you with us, Mike. You know, this is baffling to me. There's way more evidence here that Chris Kobach and his buddies stole the election than there is specific evidence that Russia hacked the DNC. But Democrats, other than members of the Congressional Black Caucus, are literally completely silent on this. Why do you think this is?
Yeah. The problem with voter suppression stories, the general public, and that includes Democrats, only seem to care about these stories when there's an election a few weeks away. And that's why the Democratic Party has done virtually nothing to help solve these problems created by Republican voter suppression that you just described. You can count on one hand the number of people who talk about voting rights and voter suppression on a regular basis. You pointed out Greg Pallas. He's one of them. Brad Friedman, Ari Berman. That's about it. You know, the corporate-controlled media won't touch issues like that because they're not sensational enough. They can't make the story appealing enough to an audience with a 30-second attention span, so they feed us absurd fake news about Russia hacking the election or Donald Trump, what he tweeted this morning. As a matter of fact, Tom, it's really interesting. Right now, you see the new DNC. I don't know if you've seen this story. It's outrageous. The new DNC leadership, which is nothing more than the Hillary camp, is now making the Russian hacking story their number one attention. This is the number one story they're paying attention to, rather than voting suppression that probably killed them in the last election. So we know the Republican-controlled states have been systematically purging Democratic voters for at least 16 years, and these methods keep evolving.
Yeah, if the Democrats don't have the smarts to call out Republicans for cross-check, how worried should we be about their ability to oppose Trump?
Well, I have no confidence in their ability to do anything about Trump. Understand, they're meeting right now, Tom. This new DNC, which is simply the same old folks, Brazil appointed the same old Hillary Clinton folks, the John Podesta idiots who lost this last election. That's the new DNC, and they're talking about how we can justify Hillary Clinton losing, rather than talking about, look, the problems we ought to be solving is this new methodology that's evolved. And you find voters who have the same name as a convicted felon and you purge them from the rolls, or you find two people with the same name and claim that they registered twice. All these purging tricks, rather than them talking about that looking ahead, they're dwelling on trying to make John Podesta look less like the idiot that he is. That's what's happening here. I mean, I can't put it any plainer. And so that's the new leadership for the DNC. So I really don't see anything changing here. I mean, we're not going to see, they're not going to make any inroads to change, to solving this problem about voter suppression that's killing Democrats.
This is the thing that astonishes me, Mike. Back in 2000, Greg Palast, again, same reporter. He was working for BBC then. This time it's for Rolling Stone, but uncovered the fact, it's not in dispute any longer, that Jeb Bush, the brother of the guy running for president, ordered Catherine Harris to blow somewhere between 40 and 90,000 African Americans off the voting rolls in Florida because they had the same names as felons who lived in Texas, as you point out. And again, the Congressional Black Caucus went crazy with this. I mean, they really tried to do something with this, but they got ignored by the rest of the Democratic Party. The Democratic the Black Caucus in the House Black Caucus, they're also concerned about this whole cross check thing, and nobody's paying attention to them either. And
Tom,
go ahead, Mike.
It's because look, the Democratic Party has become the party of Martha's Vineyard. And we can't get that through our head. They're no longer the party of Allentown, Pennsylvania. Understand? They are the party of Martha's Vineyard. And the Martha's Vineyard types that are now in control of the DNC, the Hillary people that were appointed, don't really care what the Black Caucus has to say. They're in a fight down here in Florida on who's going to take up. There's an African-American running for, he wants to head the Democratic Party. You ought to hear what they're throwing at the guy. Because he's not part of the Washington DNC bubble, which is the party of Martha's Vineyard. Not Allentown, PA. And here's where it ties in. They're not going to pay attention to this. They're too busy trying to rewrite the history of why Hillary Clinton was such a miserable failure, on why John Podesta drove the train along with people like Schultz down in Miami. Wasserman Schultz down in Miami. So the real question comes, what can we really expect from them? I'm telling you, don't expect anything. Don't you remember when we had Holder, Eric Holder, up every day talking, we're going to do something about voter suppression. We're going to change the laws. When he walked away, nothing happened. Yeah. Loretta Lynch has done nothing meaningful to solve this problem because they're part of that Washington Democratic bubble that is making the Democratic Party irrelevant. Yeah. They are irrelevant, and they're going to become less relevant as Trump takes control of the process and furthers the suppression that's taken place. Look, you talk about Greg Palast, Brad Friedman. These are folks that did incredible reporting on real stories where voters were simply being removed for no good reason. And you know what? Corporate media never talked about it. Right. Instead, today, they'd rather talk about some hacker boogeyman because that's more sensational. They don't want to admit that they failed in protecting the right to vote, so they're blaming, for example, the Democrats and the media, blaming the loss of the 2016 election on everything else.
Yeah. I get the whole shoot the messenger strategy. I mean, I got that, you know, right at the very get-go. But in any case, Donald Trump has picked Wall Street defense lawyer Jake Clayton to head up
that's
the security.
That piece. Yeah. So again, you know, January 6th, RT, the only outlet that I'm aware of that picked up Greg Palast's story, I mentioned his story back in August over at the Rolling Stone. Basically what Greg Palast did in essence was to fire a warning shot. He sent up a signal flare and said, hey, this is how this deal works here. And 3 days after the election on November 11th, he published a story detailing how the election was stolen on his own website. And the story was simply titled, "The Election Was Stolen, Here's How." Pretty straightforward. And he details it through the Chris Kobach's interstate cross-check system that has been used, quite literally it seems, to steal the election. So the Rolling Stone story back in August, Greg Palast's story, was the GOP's stealth war against voters. And like I said, that was, did you hear anything about that? We haven't heard about this. Why is that? These kinds of things are very disturbing, in my opinion. Greg Palast is an award-winning journalist. He been around for a long time. He was the guy who uncovered the theft of the 2000 presidential election in Florida. Remember the hanging chads? That was Greg Palast. He's done some incredible work over the years. He was the guy who blew the whistle on the U.S. involvement in the attempted coup against Hugo Chavez, Bush administration's secret plans to invade Iraq for oil, and so on and so on. You know, the reason that we're talking about Halliburton and its functionaries is largely because of Greg Palast's work. And so I guess it's no surprise that his reporting would be suppressed in the mainstream by those very same interests that are coming to power. No wonder they're deflecting, focusing on the smaller issues. And there's a bigger story here at work, I think. I'm not exactly sure how to phrase it, but in simple terms, I'll say it like this. It's the glasnost effect, obviously. And so the real scandal of vote fraud, and Greg Palast talks about the exit polls too. You know, what about the exit polls? And so just to touch on that for a second, because I've mentioned, you know, I mentioned every national election cycle that the National Election Pool, as it's now known since 2003, is the organization that is self-appointed, by the way, responsible. It's owned and operated by a consortium of news agencies, the Big Six, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, Associated Press, and CNN. Those organizations maintain the voter or the National Election Pool, which the precursor to that was the Voter News Service. Again, that's something that you don't hear anyone talk about. The late, great Jack Otto in his last talk was the only person I ever heard mention it, other than myself. So the National Election Pool is tasked with gathering exit poll data, providing exit poll data analysis, and projecting winners of races. Well, their big brag since the rebranding of the Voter News Service, really, is what happened, is that since 2003, and again, that was on the heels of the 2000 and 2002 scandals, the Florida nonsense, the Ohio nonsense, was rebranded. Their big brag since then is that they haven't inaccurately called a winner. They've accurately predicted winners for 14 years now. And I always say that's incredible. They should buy lottery tickets. That's just unprecedented. So obviously one can infer that there is corruption there as well. Not to mention the fact that no one's ever seen an exit poll or heard of anyone who's participated in one. That's interesting, isn't it? It's like the shirt that has Bigfoot on it, and it says, I think the caption says, undisputed hide-and-seek champion of the world, or undefeated hide-and-seek champion, something like that. These guys, you know, no one knows who is conducting these polls or where they're being conducted, but somehow, mysteriously, with no data, they can use that no data to accurately interpolate election results, forecast election results. So it's ridiculous. Greg Palast's story, the election was stolen. Here's how. What about those exit polls? He writes, exit polls are the standard by which the U.S. State Department measures the honesty of foreign elections. Exit polling is historically deadly accurate. The bane of pre-election polling is that pollsters must adjust for the likelihood of a person voting. Exit polls solve the problem. But three times in history, pollsters have had to publicly flagellate themselves for their errors. And he quotes errors. In other words, they're fraud. In 2000, exit polls gave Al Gore the win in Florida. In 2004, exit polls gave Kerry the win in Ohio. And now in swing states, exit polls gave the presidency to Hillary Clinton. So how could these multi-million dollar PhD-directed statisticians with decades of experience get exit polls so wrong? Answer, they didn't. The polls in Florida in 2000 were accurate. That's because exit pollsters can only ask, how did you vote? What they don't ask and can't ask is, was your vote counted? In 2000 in Florida, GOP Secretary of State Catherine Harris officially rejected 181,173 ballots as quote-unquote spoiled because their chads were hung and other nonsense excuses. Those ballots overwhelmingly were marked for Al Gore. The exit polls included those 181,000 people who thought they had voted, but their vote didn't count. So again, as we joke, I think it was Stalin, wasn't it, that we attribute the words to who, it's not who votes that counts, but who counts the votes. In 2004, a similar Secretary of State Kenneth Blackwell. Again, the polls reflected that Kerry was the choice of 51% of the voters. But the exit polls were quote-unquote wrong because they didn't reflect the ballots invalidated by Blackwell. So this is not a new issue. So it just substantiates the point that if there was anything that Democrats and mainstream media should be looking at, wouldn't it be this? And yet we're harping on this unsubstantiated story, and it can't seem to stop rattling around in the echo chamber of the mainstream corporate press. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Phone lines are open. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.